Okay, we're going to reconvene our meeting now, and Mr. Cravioli has agreed to give us an invocation today.
Sir, if you guys would just bow with me, please.
Heavenly Father,
Lord, we come to you this afternoon, Lord, just thanking you for all the grace and the mercy that you've given to us, Lord. We ask you for wisdom as we go through these things, just to lead Howard County in your best interest, Lord. I'd say a special prayer this afternoon. I want to say a prayer of peace, comfort, and love, Lord, to the families of Dr. Hayes, Janelle Davis, and Sparks family, Lord, that you continue to wrap your arms around these families as they get through these tough times, Lord. And I ask and I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Do we have any guests we need to recognize today?
I think
we're
good. Yes.
Okay. We got public hearing. Okay. This public hearing is now in session. Notice this public hearing has been presented to the news media. Citizens are now invited to present their views concerning the action and approval of the tax abatement guidelines and criteria. All who desire to be heard shall now record their names with Secretary of the Board of Trustees, Avian Cavio. And those so recorded will be heard. And I do not see anyone volunteering or getting up to talk, so since there is no discussion, the proposed revisions of the tax abatement guidelines and criteria, we will close this public hearing. Okay, next item on the agenda. Okay, at this time, the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested that be placed on the agenda and want to address the board. And again, I don't see anyone that wishes to do that. Assuming there's no, we'll go to the next item, which is agenda routine matters. You've all had a chance to go through all those routine matters, the minutes, financial monthly report, personal matters, and internal audit report. And a motion to approve those. I have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. No unfinished business. Isn't there new business within the district? Tax abatement guidelines and criteria resolution.
All right. Mr. Chairman and board members, you've already had your hearing and had the opportunity to ask any questions that you might have had of Mark Willis. And so we recommend approval of, there are no changes in the existing tax abatement guidelines and criteria. So you have to do this every 2 years, and then we must have it on our website. So we need approval for that.
Have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Have a motion, have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Console Energy Abatement Extension.
Again, as you know, this particular company is requesting an extension, and Mark went into some detail about that, and so we recommend your approval of same.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve? Have a motion, have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Our County Leadership Summit recap.
All right. Again, a little conversation about that as well. Several of you were able to attend, and I know that it was more interactive this time than it has been the last two, and that was by design. And so I think that Mark has been pleased with that, and I suspect that we will continue that same approach. The East Room was a little more intimate than the floor of the Coliseum, and I think that that encouraged conversation. So just a little bit of information on that. Anybody have any comments of anything you'd like for me to take to Mark to suggest to improve? Okay.
All right. Okay, next item is the President's contract and job descriptions. I think we've gone over that. Is there any questions or comments we need to make on that? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve. Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Organizational changes.
Okay. As we discussed in executive session, we have there are lots of changes that are. Sorry about that, Raul. Yes, the meeting has started. Sorry about that. I was muted. You just voted whether you liked it or not for my contract to be extended. So now we're what can I say? Yeah, we're moving right along. And so, all right. So organizational changes and cabinet appointments then would be next on this agenda. So I'm going to try to just do both of those together. As I was about to say, House Bill 8 has created a lot of change, and we have been trying to adapt to that. At the same time, we've also had just changes in the organization. And so we've been studying how to go forward with that. And so I'm recommending changes in order to address that. Next month's board meeting, we will have a more detailed organizational chart with the functions similar to what you've seen before as far as all the cabinet members. But this particular meeting, generally you would do the president's contract and job description in the February meeting, and then we do the cabinet in this meeting. And so we're doing all this meeting. And so what I am recommending then as far as our cabinet appointments relates to those changes. So let me just go over that real quick. We have in the role of our executive vice president, Amy continues in that role. Our executive dean for Mesa campus is Monica. Our provost for the San Angelo campus, Pam Callen, and Jeff Anderson, who has been serving in the interim role as our provost for the SWCC campus, is now officially becoming the provost, and so there's no interim associated with that. Appreciate him, having the willingness to continue in that role with the interim off of it. Steve Smith is our chief business officer, internal auditor. The chief fiscal officer, controller, is Brenda Claxton. Rhonda Koenig, our chief human resources officer. A new person in our cabinet and in a different role to a certain extent as far as how that role is designed is our chief institutional research officer, and that's Brad Keller. So we didn't officially introduce Brad earlier, but he is new and running fast. We're trying to keep him from drowning, but he is he's doing great and moving right along. Chief Operations and Safety Security Officer, Fabian Serrano. The Chief of Staff Institutional Advancement Officer, Brenda Medore. And this is a little bit of a change in our organizational structure. We are splitting out, we're pulling the student success part of Amy's role. Amy effectively will still be doing academic and student services at a district operational role, but as far as day-to-day, there are some things that are changing, specifically related to the Big Spring campus, and the Chief Student Success Public Information Officer, Cindy Smith. So y'all know Cindy. She's assuming some more responsibility, and we appreciate that. And then the Chief Technology Systems Data Security Officer, Eric Hansen. Where's Eric? There he is. Yeah. Eric, I used your name a lot this morning talking about the different things that we were working on. So, So you'll notice that it, by design, Brenda Kay, who's working on this structure, and by the way, is already getting some help from Brad and his with his Excel skills. He's really good at it. By design, these positions, they're alphabetized. because these roles are all so critical as cabinet members and what they do. Amy continues in the role of if something happens to me, then she takes a lead role. And so we continue with that. And so we will, next month, we will have a detailed org chart that will show you the functions of each one of these positions. And so I think at this point that would be what I would want to say about the changes. Need those to be approved.
All right. So I have a motion to approve these appointments. I have a motion. Do I have a second? Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Resolution entering the interlocal agreement for a steel coat project.
Okay. I'll just do this one real quick. Steve and Fabian can jump in. As we've done in the past, we are requesting your approval to enter into an interlocal agreement for a steel coat project with the City of Big Spring. And this is the same document that we have used before for these joint projects. This is something that's budgeted. We discussed this last summer during the budget work. So I ask your approval.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
How much is the value of this stuff?
Fabian, what's the value?
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Have a motion. Do I have a second? Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Telephone floor name update.
All right. As you all know, the Abasab family, Mike and Sheila, had a big role in ensuring that we got a new floor for our Coliseum several years ago. And we all know synonymous with Sonic in Big Spring, Texas, is Abasab. We would like to recommend that we, with the passing of Mike, I guess it was 2 years in November, and their influence on the Big Spring and Howard County area, that we associate their name specifically with the Sonic floor, and that we basically call the floor the Abasab Sonic floor. So that's our recommendation.
And I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
I have a motion to have a second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
I might add, Mr. Chairman, that we are going to be working on a visit with Sheila. She has no idea about this, and I'll visit with her, and we'll come up with an appropriate time to have this new recognition of the renaming of the floor, and we'll get back with you on that.
Mm-hmm. Correctional Studies Program Update.
Okay. Again, as you know, with our funding model change, we've been in transition for probably about 2 or 3 years as far as what we're going to do at the FCI campus, how to handle it, and it's been created. There were pandemic issues, and then, of course, with the House Bill 8, it created a whole new approach as far as workforce training and how it's funded, and we're still muddling through, as every other college in the state is, how we work with CE outcomes. And so based on what our initial findings were when that bill was passed and the application of same, it was obvious that we were going to have to change the way that we were handling our FCI program. So we visited with the FCI folks. We have actually, they've been great. We've been working with them really on how to go forward for about two and a half years, seems like a long time, and they've looked at different approaches. They're very supportive. The local FCI is very supportive because we have a long-standing partnership with them that goes back to the beginning of the FCI. But they, of course, have to adhere to regional requirements and federal requirements and all that. So what they have been able to achieve is basically it's a temporary contract. They told us on last week when we had their community meeting, it's called a bridge contract. Essentially, what that will do, that will fund the positions that currently, the faculty positions that currently provide instruction at the FCI, we think like up until through September. Their fiscal year is October 1. So we have that in place. That, again, Dee's here, Dee Lindsay has been working. She's over the Correctional Studies Division, and she's here to answer any questions. But we're ready to go. We haven't the paperwork. We haven't signed the paperwork yet. We were talking about that last Wednesday. We're very close. They're just expecting a few little details to be worked out, and we'll be able to sign off and go forward with that. In the meantime, there will be an RFP that will be released that any entity could apply to provide instructional delivery, prison education at the FCI. We obviously will be applying to be that provider. It will be a 5-year contract, and so that we anticipate that will come out before too long, and then we will actively begin to put that together so that we then can move our FCI program forward. It's been very successful. It's actually cited as one of the best in the nation, and so we feel very positive about what we do at the FCI. But this change, like we keep saying, how House Bill 8 has created lots of change. It has created lots of change, and in the meantime, we are also trying to figure out ways that we can change up some of the instructional delivery at the prison so that we can get some outcome point funding that somehow we can also align with this funding. So the funding that we're getting is going to basically cover the salaries and then the contract the RFP would also take us down that path, but we're also going to be able to build in some other costs as well. Amy, anything else that y'all would add? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is at this point break even?
It will be, yeah. It will take care of the faculty salaries and when we start. And then we're hoping the RFP we'll be able to build in some other things. We're not trying to make a profit, but, you know, we cover our costs.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Nothing for Lamisa or San Angelo. For SWID, we have a SWID property and notice of program completion.
Okay. Yes. This is a little more involved, and I'd like for Steve to give y'all an update because several of you are new as far as having conversations about SWID with property and don't know the history. So, Steve, you'll give them an update.
Sure. Well, when SWID had to do was for 30 years had to, we did a report that stated that we were using that property for education purposes. And so we did it on every 2 year basis. This is the last piece that we're talking about, this is the fifth piece that we're talking about today. And I'll just read this. It says, U.S. Department of Education is pleased to confirm that Howard College has satisfactorily completed the 30-year period of restriction set forth in the March 7, 1991 quit claim deed. And we were operating under each one of those pieces under a quit claim deed. It said, which conveyed the former Webber property at substantial public benefit allowance. and they admitted that we're no longer bound by those four conditions. Those four conditions were the same for every piece of the property. The first one was the existing easements for public roads, streets, and highways, and for public utilities and railroads and pipelines, meaning that we have whoever takes that property to sold or uses it, we still have to have allowed them to have public roads, including public roads, pipelines, easements. The second thing they did, all going against minimum outstanding, when they separated that property, they when it was given 30 years ago, they separated the place of state from the mental estate. That the U.S. government retained the mental estate rights. So we don't get any of those sure. Laws on that state still today.
They're not done.
The third thing was the construction alterations to the property, that it would not be interfered in any way with air navigation because it's at the airport. We couldn't do anything that would restrict airplanes coming in and all of that. And then the fourth thing was if the use of the property can't over air rights under, which would be mining for gravel, any of that kind of stuff, we can't, those restrictions still apply to the deed, is what they're saying. But other than that, they release the property to us. We don't have to do those reports anymore, and then we can get a deed without them, with, you know, that we don't have to restrict. Of course, the non-discrimination conditions and the covenants all go with the deed, so that's good. So anyhow, that's good news that we have it after 30 years. And that's where we are. So, any questions?
Good.
Pretty amazing.
That is.
A long time.
Great. It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Wow. All right. I have a motion to approve the notice.
I'll move in.
Have a motion. Have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. On to performance and major outcomes. Success. Student Success Fall 2023 enrollment update.
All right, so this is an inaugural report for Brad, and let me just kind of preface some of the work before he introduces and details this. As you know, in the fall, we had started reporting that would relate to our 8-week semesters that we had started, and so the preliminary report, we shared that one back in October, and then we were going to do the final at the end of the semester. So this represents the final information for the fall. As Brad gets ready to do this, let me also remind y'all that we have this unusual situation, and if we were still transitioning for some things that had happened with how the San Angelo ISD had done some of this enrollment the year before. So there were lots of different things that we were making points about. So, all right, Brad, it's yours.
How are you today?
Good.
So, as far as the presentation is concerned, I just wanted to direct your attention towards the fourth page of that report. Pretty simple for the first 3 years, before you see the 19-20-21, and then you start seeing some back and forth in the 22-23. That's when we moved over to 8-week reporting, and so the numbers are coming at a different rate, especially when it's including headcount and making sure they're aware of those headcount. And I just wanted to draw your attention to the 23, where it is, where as we shift backwards, it looks like a large plus 39% increase. However, it really is that 6.24% increase, and that's that. Shifting and adjusting. We're still waiting on the paper to see how that's actually presented for them. And honestly, I think it's going to be just possible aid, not being primarily about headcount, but we'll make sure we do it correctly with them. A lot of these things are in transition and in flux, but that is a really good thing to see the numbers increasing, especially in headcount. I mean, even though we're not exactly getting funding directly for our contact hours, our headcount, this directly corresponds to how we're going to get to our completion and our certification. And so it's a great number to pay attention to. And we'll get to the numbers that are structurally going to be more in line with what you're going to need to be able to make decisions. I do want to draw your attention that there is a 4,600, that the number from the preliminary was 4,645. It's really only a difference of 83 from your preliminary. So our numbers were really in line with what we presented to you back in October. There wasn't much change. On page 2, you'll see small changes. There was small difference in the credit hours reported to you, but it wasn't the 33,490 was the preliminary reported number of credit hours to you back in October, and that's really only a difference of 964 from the numbers that you're seeing now. So again, we're very in line with our preliminary numbers. We're very in line with what we told you was going to happen, and we wanted to make sure that you guys were aware of what was presented to you and that we stuck to those numbers fairly consistent. Again, the enrollment that you see on page, this would be page 6, the numbers are in a line. We do see that increase of enrollment at each of the campuses. So it seems like we're doing a good job if we're getting people back into our campuses, especially after the pandemic. The last of the presentation involved the workforce education numbers that are coming to you. The biggest thing to know about the duplicate headcount is that we're making sure that our numbers are aligned and we're getting you an adequate assessment of where we stand with our continuing education and workforce comparison. There is a lot of difference between the numbers and the negatives and whatnot of what we're showing. Again, we want to increase those numbers that's going to be moving forward to hospital data. It's going to be very vital for us to get those numbers to you and get those numbers correct for you so you can make adequate and intelligent decisions. The explanation of any of the changes is going to be on page 2 of that particular report. And if you have any questions about that, I can answer your questions at this time.
And Brad, let me just tell you that I had also shared with the board as part of our strategic planning that and they're prepared to know that we're still going to be changing. There's just a lot of change going on at the state level and how we're going to be presenting information to the board. The coordinating board's going through a lot of change. TAC is going through a lot of change, trying to figure out exactly how we're all going to work this this new approach. And Brad will be at a meeting this week, and we're very hopeful that he's going to be able to glean some good information as far as how the other colleges are beginning to look at it. We're all scrambling. He has mentioned that the listserv for that group is quite active in as they go for the meeting.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I do want to make sure is emphasized is that data should be dynamic and resourceful for you. And so if I'm presenting anything to you that needs better explanation, better quality, better understanding of what it is, or something that I may be not presenting to you that you'd like to see, please be active with me and I'll make sure I get it to you as quickly as possible.
Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda is workforce training and continuing education.
And that was included both of those in his report. So
all right. Very good. All right. All right. Performance excellence. Final audit report.
All right. I know that at the last board meeting, Brenda basically said we're almost there. Well, we are there. And so, yeah, it's done. And so basically there's no change. You know, Brenda, do you want to say anything?
There were no changes from the draft that was presented in January to you. Just we needed to finalize the words and just some minor, you know, cosmetic things, kind of some pink up. So they issued on the 28th.
So everything is in order one more time. Thanks to Brenda and the team, everybody working with her across the district. She will always quickly say, oh, no, it's not just me. It's everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's true. It does take a whole group of people to get those audit reports and to have no findings and, you know, the kinds of opinions that we like our auditors to have. But without a doubt, Brenda's our mm-hmm. leader, and we really appreciate her work. She always provides an updated fund balance analysis, and you had that also shared with you previously. And so we will talk more about that during the budget summer, but that gives you the preliminary information.
All righty. I need a motion to approve the final audit report.
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Moving on to monitoring purchasing.
We don't have anything.
Everything. Handbook catalog changes, none.
Yep.
Construction renovation projects. Angelo, electrical plumbing lab update.
Yes. We have Shane Tacklett, who is going to give you an update on our progress that project.
Good afternoon. The electrical plumbing building, I believe you all have pictures.
They do.
Pictures. And it's a 4,920 square feet building. It's coming along quite well. We have the foundation is completed. It's ready for the metal. The gentlemen were on site this morning to start putting up the steel, but with the wind, they weren't able to get it started. So hopefully the winds will die down and they will get that going. It's coming along very well.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Shane will be come into the board meetings over the next few weeks or few months to give you updates. We're hoping that maybe we're going to be finished, Shane, in June. We're hoping maybe June, into June.
That's what we're hoping.
Cool.
So we can see the building when we visit them again this year.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. We're down to the president's report.
Okay. So let me take us through as far as upcoming activities and some recognitions. All right, busy time of year, we're in it, and just some highlights. We, of course, we finished basketball. I'll talk about that in just a minute as far as the success of some of our students. Baseball, softball is going on, and we're moving into all the different end-of-year ceremonies. We've already had our San Angelo awards convocation, and we are going to be having the Big Spring Lamesa one will be on Tuesday, April the 2nd, and hope you can attend that. And then it won't be long until we will be going through graduation. But before then, all those events, you see all kinds of sporting things going on with baseball, softball, some other things that are happening. If you have the opportunity, Thursday around 8:30, it's always Hoops, Dreams, and Goals is going to be going on over at the Coliseum. That is put on by the West Texas Center, and it is basically their version of March Madness, and there are teams that come in from all over the area. The grand entrance is at 8:30, and that is a really big deal. And so if you just happen to be driving around, I think you would enjoy that. Friday will be Good Friday, and then we move into April. Hard to believe. Next Tuesday, April the 2nd, the Permian Energy Development Laboratory is launching for the Permian Basin what they are doing with a grant that they have received. They have both private and public support, and they wanted to do it in Big Spring, Texas, and so they want to do it at Howard College, and the reason they chose us is because Lauren is she was Senator Seliger's district director. And she said that Big Spring, Howard County, Howard College was always the best place to start things because there was participation, people cared, and so y'all come. It'll be at 10 o'clock in the Cactus Room, and they will launch what they're going to be doing. There's a lot of excitement behind that. And it just happens that Delek is also a finalist for a federal grant, a carbon capture. And so there's an opportunity for there to be some really interesting synergy between Delek and the Permian Energy Development Lab. And so, again, I encourage you to come. already said something about the Evening of Excellence for the Big Spring campus. Then I would also just make you aware that we are beginning our Rural Promise work in a more energetic way. They will be here on the 3rd and 4th of April. And we are, Britta Kay is taking the lead on that particular project, and there are things that are beginning to happen. You're going to be hearing more about it at your April board meeting, but they will be here to, basically, we're setting the stage. The sophomore music recital is on April the 4th, and then the next thing that I would bring to your attention is the rodeo. As you know, our rodeo team goes across the region, literally, in its pretty broad region, in the fall and the spring. We have our rodeo generally, well, it's always been in the spring, and so we will be having the rodeo the 11th through the 13th, and it will be at the Rodeo Bowl. So encourage you to come out and watch that. That's a lot, takes a lot of effort, time and effort for our rodeo program and team, and a lot of local people are involved in that as well. And so that will be the 11th through the 13th. We'll have the barbecue on Tuesday the 9th, and it'll be at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The Big Spring Foundation meeting, for those who are members of that, will be on Friday the 12th at 11:30. And then the SWID Foundation is the following week, and that meeting will be on Wednesday the 17th at 11:30 on our SWID campus. We will also have a Zoom version of our SWID Advisory Council on the 18th. The health fair will be at the Coliseum on the 20th. Again, that's a chamber event, but that's a pretty big event, and there's a possibility we may do something related to the Avisob addition to the science floor at that particular event. We'll work with the family on that. All right, your next board meeting is the 29th of April. You'll remember that Ben had requested that you set it back a week, and so everybody could do that, and so that will be on the 29th. We will have a graduation at the FCI on May the 1st. And then, even though May 4th will be Election Day, it won't be an Election Day for us because you all were able to call that election due to unopposed candidates. Then we move into the next week, which will be our graduations and pinnings. And so, San Angelo graduation is on Thursday, the 9th at 6:30. We'll have pinnings during the day. We'll be getting you some more specific information about those pinnings and times. On Friday the 10th, we'll have SWID graduation at 10 o'clock in the morning, and the Big Spring Lamesa graduation that evening at 7 o'clock. So you will have more information about that by the time we get to the April meeting, but I wanted to have that in front of you so you can put it on your calendars and be preparing for that. Recognitions, I wanted to bring to your attention some of our students who made our men's basketball team. We have one of our students, Joey Madimba. I always have a hard time with his last name. Joey made the all-conference team, and because he was one of the top six, he was also a part of the all-region five team. So we're excited for Joey. And then Kashim made honorable mention. On the women's team, Elisa Martinez made honorable mention for the conference team. And we had shared some other things in last month about how our students did a great job with the February the Valentine's event that they had. It was not really a play, but their Valentine performance. And then we also we have some students that are going to be participating in the All Texas USA event, and we will share some more information about that at next month's board meeting. Okay, as far as legislative and general updates, the election as far Representative Darby is going to be serving our area as the representative. He was unopposed as far as the general, so he will be the representative for this area. And then, of course, Senator Sparks and Senator Perry. And we're going to be spending a lot more time with them now that we've got some of that election process behind us in preparation for, it's hard to believe, next year's legislative session. Mm-hmm. Brenda and I will begin seeing information coming from Austin very soon about the legislative appropriation request. That'll be due this summer. And so we will start working on some of that, and you'll be hearing more about that as we begin that process. There's already some strategic planning that's going on our SWID campus. I'm excited about what Jeff and team are going to be presenting to me in a couple of weeks, and some of that is going to tie in to some of the things that we could be